الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. My respected friends, in this little time that we are sitting together, at the outset, let's just get things in perspective. Allah created us all, and Allah gave us iman. Allah blessed us with the tawfiq of coming here because Allah loved us. Allah loves each and every single one of us. We are the falcon that Maulana Rizwan was speaking about. We're not vultures. Therefore, Allah separated us from the disbelievers. And Allah filled our hearts with iman to the extent that majority of everyone sitting here are looking like Muslims. We are dressing like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, at this time, we are in a dini gathering. Because we have some feeling, some love of Allah which is there in the heart. And it was Allah's love that brought us here. Keep that in mind. Whatever can be happening in the whole world, we are the beloveds of Allah. And appreciate the fact that Allah loves us so much. Now what happened is that from ever, Allah already knew those things which were going to break our love relationship with Him. From ever, because Allah knows everything and knew everything from ever, Allah already knew that there were going to be many things which were going to come between our love and the love of Allah. So Allah, out of His kindness and His mercy, and out of His love for us, prohibited it. A woman loves her husband. So if her husband has to look at another man, she say, "Don't you dare." Why? Because you're my beloved. You are my lover. You're not supposed to be looking elsewhere. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram, the worst crime in any marriage is when there is treachery, when there is disloyalty, when a husband is unfaithful. Why? Because this is a relationship of love. Disloyalty shows that this love is now going to be terminated and broken. In our relationship with Allah, Allah out of His kindness made haram haram. Because Allah knew from the beginning that this is going to separate me from my servant. I hate and despise these evil actions. And I don't want my beloved to get involved in all of this. So Allah made it haram. It was only His kindness that He made it haram. We, the lovers and the beloveds of Allah, need to understand that haram is through and through harmful for us. Haram is harm. And if you spell it with double A, it's double harm. In haram, there is only evil, only harm to us. May Allah give me tawfiq, give us all tawfiq. This is the worst, the vilest, the most filthiest thing that a person can get involved in. But shaitan beautifies it outwardly. Maybe I mentioned this here before, I don't know. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to give an example of his one friend who was studying in medical college. So on one occasion he brought some mitai from home. Some sweet meat. They used to mix it in milk. It was very sweet. And he wanted to have it for his morning breakfast every day. He thought, 1 month every day I'll cut a small piece and put it in. So the first day he brought it, locked it in his locker. The next morning he opened the locker, everything is gone. Very angry, upset, irritated. I'll get those guys back. So he went to the nearby halwa shop where they were selling these sweet meats. And he bought something called gulab jamun. Gulab jamun is, if the person who doesn't understand, something like a donut full of syrup. Very sweet, very tasty. And he brought it to his room and he told his friends, "Oh, you guys, you stole my things yesterday. I'll show you all. Today I bought a new lock, and I'm going to lock this in my locker in such a way nobody can touch it." What he didn't tell them, however, was before he put it in the locker, before he brought it, he was in medical college. He took a syringe, and he injected each gulab jamun with a little bit Jamal Gota. Everyone knows Jamal Gota. Whoever doesn't know can ask those who know. So each one was injected, and he put it in his locker, and he challenged them. So they said, "Oh, he thinks he's clever, we'll get him." He went out of the room, they broke his lock, and they took, and everyone had a nice party that day. And after the party was finished, he walked into the room again, and he sees one friend running to the toilet. His stomach is paining. He just comes out of the toilet, reaches the room again. He's back again. The second friend said, I also got a pain in the stomach. He runs to the toilet. Now the toilet in that room is full. There's no place. The next friend has to go to the next boarding, next room, the next block of the boarding. Finally, the inspector of the school was called. He called all of these boys. He said, you people are spreading infections. Each one of them was given one injection. Because you people are troublemakers. You are spreading infection in the school. Rather, we put you in one room. They quarantined them. They gave them all injection. And this boy sat on his bed and he laughed. So he said, the exact same example is our example. Shaitan gives us that beautiful, lovely donut. And it's full of syrup. But inside, injected is poison. Darkness, filth, things which can only harm us and make us miserable and depressed. And we enjoy it outwardly. But the moment it enters into our bloodstream, then we come to understand that it was only our destruction. It was only bad for us. It was only harmful. What I wish to discuss today, one of the things which have cut us off from Allah, and which have because has come between us and our beloved, us and our true lover, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this one sin of pornography. The evil P word which has become so common. Now I see many youngsters here, and many who might be, many will consider underage. But today nobody is underage. Whoever has that cell phone in his hand has seen everything, he knows everything. Probably he would know more than me also, I don't have. So, we wish to explain this here for those people who are not involved. For those young children who are here sitting and don't have any idea what is pornography, quickly I'll explain to you. Many a times on your cell phones, on your computers, later on in your life, you will see some filthy, dirty pictures of a woman who is dressed incorrectly, or even more frightening, a man who is dressed incorrectly. And you as a youngster would be tempted because of curiosity, what is this? So for those who don't know what it is, I'm giving you just three simple steps. The moment you see a picture like this on your cell phone, the moment you see a picture like this on your computer, say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem. The next thing you do, I'm teaching you, this is a drill. You know, in madrasas, I don't know, here in the madrasa here, in Heidelberg, we have to do drills with the students. We have to teach them, if there's a fire in the madrasa, what you're going to do. All the students must get together in a certain place, how they're going to move, who's going to be in charge of them, which ustad is going to be in charge, who's going to ask the students to gather in that place. If there has to be an earthquake, what will happen? I'm telling you, if something worse than an earthquake is this, if one filthy picture has to come in front of you, don't feel curious. It's normal. It's spreading in the world. Actually, according to statistics, between the age of 8 to the age of 18, they say approximately 80%. That's their statistics. I would say 99, but the other boys are lying to them. 80% of the ummah, of the children in the world, have been exposed to pornography actually before the age of 12 already. And according to statistics, children, boys between the age of 15 and 18, maybe I think they mentioned about 90% of such boys are on hardcore porn. So anyway, what I'm telling the youngsters who don't know, if you see it, say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem. Second thing, switch it off immediately. Don't put the computer off, pull out the plugs. Third thing, run to your father, your mother, your ustad, somebody and confide in them. This is one of the best methods of dealing with this here. You need somebody to confide in. You have a sheikh, you have an ustad, you have somebody who you love, you get along with. Immediately contact. See, this is the problem. Today my eyes fell on a filthy picture. Don't look any further. Immediate ta'awud. Second, switch it off. Third, contact somebody. And the fourth thing, before you even contact anybody, go and make wudu, perform 2 rakat salat and beg Allah for protection. Because my dear young friends, those who are not involved, let me explain to you that this is one of the most filthy, vile, terrible addictions that can ever enter into anybody. And the unfortunate part is that the majority of the world are involved in this addiction. That person who you would see as Maulana, Sheikh, Hafiz, that person who is giving da'wat, that lady who is in parada, where your mind cannot, it becomes boggled. But this is shaitan. And never look down upon anybody who is involved. Because shaitan and nafs are working against you. The second is that, for that category of people who are already involved. So I just got an article here, I will read out this article, I have very little time left. And inshallah you can take your own lessons. This youngster writes, I am a 25-year-old male now, a recovering addict to porn and masturbation. It started at the age of 11. At that time, I accidentally discovered masturbation. Back then, I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't even realize that it was haram. But I have to say that even though I was young, I had a feeling that it was wrong. Anyway, I continued like this for a year or two. And then I discovered porn. This was before that era when pornography became so common and so easy that it's in your hand. It's in your pocket. It's with you wherever you go. In those days, for people to get, he writes here, he said, at first I was too embarrassed to walk into a shop and buy a magazine. So I used to look through people's garbage in the hope of finding pornographic material. He was 12 at that time. I used to stay awake late at night and I used to turn on the TV when my parents were asleep. So I could watch late night TV so I could see this filth of porn. He said, I remember I was a young boy at what lengths I would go to conceal my secret. I used to close the door, but not completely. In case my father happens to walk, I can hear his footsteps. Quickly, I change the channel. I used to hide pornographic videos under the floorboard. And one day my father nearly caught me. We were in madrasa at one time. Allah forgive our friends who were involved. Anyway, one boy had some magazines there in the locker. And there was a raid. And the boys were very frightened. He came to me, he said, what I must do? I said, tell Morana, I mustn't tell him. So they were seeing some boys, that part of their cupboards they were checking, some boys they weren't checking. So I told him, you rather go and confess, otherwise you're going to get into big trouble if they find you. So he went and he confessed. He said, Morana, I got these magazines. Where you got it from? That was even worse. He shouldn't have said it. He said, my father has all of these magazines in the house. Then, the punishment that was made out, I hope Darul Mazadbal won't go with this route. But anyway, it was a beneficial punishment. Him and all the young boys who he got involved to look at this magazine had to stand up after every salah. And they had to make announcement in the masjid, brothers, please make dua for me. I am suffering from a porn addiction. Please make dua, Allah must give me hidayat and Allah must cure me. And in the ending, he had to say one extra sentence, and I was the leader of them all. Khair, anyway, so this, at that time, this was the condition. As the Muhammad Hanisa mentioned, one family member of his went over to India. And he narrated an incident of one friend. This friend said, I went to watch one certain movie 14 times. He said, 14 times the same movie? He said, you know why? There was a scene in the movie that a woman was undressing. And as she was undressing, the train passed. So just before the last thing I could see, the train passed and I missed it. So he said, so then what you went to watch it so many times for? He said, I was hoping one day the train would be late. So that was that era when pornography was so hard. It got so bad, he said, and I felt so guilty that one day when I was 13 years old, I did confess to my father. My father was supportive. He gave me practical tips. It worked for a few months. My father thought everything is fine, but I relapsed. And that's why I said, keep in contact with somebody and keep on the contact. Every time you relapse, repeat. Say it again. Again, I'm in a problem. Make dua. Do this here and you will see your own shyness will get you off this. He said, I continued like this for a few years until the age of 15, 16. Then internet became mainstream. To me, this was the start of a new level in watching porn. Because it was so easy. I didn't need to embarrass myself and walk into an adult shop. Now everything was easily accessible. I had every kind of pornography on the web. In the beginning, it was just watching nude pics. And I was downloading free video clips. Then he says, you see, the people who deal in pornography, they're like drug dealers. They give you the first joint for free. But then when you get hooked, and you need more and more and more all the time to satisfy yourself, then at that time you realize the free stuff is not enough. So after 2 years, I needed to quench my ever-increasing lustfulness. So I crossed one fence, I used my credit card. One person wrote regarding this here, he said, that one thing don't ever do, don't cross the next fence. Wherever you are, you have to make tawbah and step back out of it. If you will make the move even once to go over into the next stage, you start buying porn, then now you are hooked in that. To come back to the last stage is very difficult. Don't ever allow Shaitan to tell you it's just once. Almost always it's not just once. It will take you in a never-ending circle and it will never come to an end. It will finish your life and finish your mind. He said, this continued till the age of 20. Then it got out of control. I started contemplating visiting prostitutes. Because watching porn was no more enough. I needed a new thrill every time. And this is nafs. Nafs will never be pleased with whatever you feed him. You can keep on feeding and feeding and feeding. Never will one day nafs say it's enough. He say, I want more, I want more. So he said porn wasn't enough. Like drugs, you start off with the basic, you end off with the worst. Internet made it easy. In the beginning, I would just phone the prostitutes. It gave me a kick. And I would justify it to myself. I said, it's not haram to talk, as long as I don't act on my feelings. And remember, if you are a morana, your nafs is also a morana. If you are a mufti, your nafs is also a mufti. Whoever you can be, he will give you fatwa, and he will convince you in such a way that you will have no answer. Our answer in the end is, I love Allah, and for Allah's love, I'm not going to do it. That is the answer of every mu'min. He said, finally then, you guessed it, I moved on to the next level. I went into zina with those evil women. After the first experience, I was feeling guilty. I made tawbah. I stopped watching porn. But this is an addiction. It pulls you back again. It's easy to relapse. I started visiting prostitutes on a regular basis. After a year or two, I decided the only way to solve my problem, get married. But marriage also is not merely the solution for this. You know, it was a few months and I relapsed. Things changed only 1 year ago. He said, for this last 15 years of my life, the story of my life is only of pornography. It consumed me in every way. I tried so many times to slay it, and many times we say, I'm not an addict. I just watch it to enjoy myself. But if you're doing it in your free time, it means you are an addict. That's why you're running to it. If you can't stop and say, I'm finished, I don't want to go back again, it means you are addicted. It means you got the craving, that's why it's pulling you. That's why you will spend late nights on your cell phone. That's why you will surf the net looking for any name which is connected to anything connected to pornography. Just so you can find one pornographic website and you can soothe your nerves that I'm not looking for porn. I was just surfing the net. I was surfing the web. It just happened I reached here. And like this year, you can give yourself hundreds of excuses. He said, finally, one day, 1 year ago, Allah gave me tawfiq. Today I can announce I slayed it. Today is 1 year of victory. Like all other addicts, whenever I made tawbah, I thought I will go back. I don't think it's going to last. But last year, I made a promise and resolution to Allah, I am not going back. Now, I just want to tell you one thing. Shaitan's one trick is this, that he will keep on telling you, don't make tawbah. You know you're going to go back. But Allah taught us in Quran and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in the ahadith, make tawbah. Every time you make tawbah, Allah's help will come to you again. And if it happens that you keep on making tawbah till the end, and this is one message which I hopefully I can leave you with. If you keep on making tawbah till the end, and every time you promise Allah, I'm not going back, and it happens that your nafs pushes you back again, and you make tawbah again, and you try, till the last moment of your life, inshaAllah, you will be successful. There's an incident as Imam Abdul Hamid Sahib normally mentions, and very briefly, I'll just cut it short. One person was an addict to wine. And he would spend his entire day in the bar. He would do the worst of crimes and sins. When he passed away, nobody wanted to give him ghusl also. His wife called some workers and said, go and dump him in the Qabristan. One wali of Allah was living on the mountain. He would never come down from the mountain for anything. Once a year, he would come down to give advice to some friends of his and he would go back up. That day, everyone saw the wali coming down to the Qabristan for a janazah. They came rushing, they said, what happened today? He said, Allah inspired me, one friend of mine has passed away. So I came to the graveyard to attend his janazah. He said, friend of Allah, this man. The entire town joined in the janazah. Later they went to the wife of this man and said, your husband, we know him, what kind of person? How did Allah refer to this man as his friend and he sent that wali for his janazah? So the wife said, he was as bad as you know. Three things unique in his life. He always looked after orphan and he treated the orphan better than his own children. Second thing is that my husband every morning after coming home, he would be completely drunk. In the morning he would become a little bit sober. He would take a cold bath. He would go to the masjid every day for Fajr Salah. And the third thing, when he was at home in the drunken state, he would turn to Allah and he would say, Allah, I don't know which corner of Jahannam you kept for me, O Allah. Which corner of Jahannam is booked for me? How am I going to face you tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah? Outwardly, it seemed like there was no hope for this man. But by Allah, you never write off, what Muhammad Ridwan said. You're not a write off till the last moment. Allah will make you that falcon. So anyway, this is one thing Allah has kept for us, tawbah. Shaitan will tell you, don't make it till the day you give up fully. When is the day going to come? Keep on making tawbah. Every time perform 2 rakat salat. Every time go in the musalla. Every time cry to Allah. And Allah's help will be with you. He said, I sat down and I brainstormed the evil consequences of porn. I came up with the following. So quickly I'm going to read through. He said, the most important one is to go to Jahannam. I'm going to land up there. Feeling guilty and worthless. Feeling ashamed of myself. I lost self-esteem. I didn't have confidence. I was going into depression. And many people do go into depression as a result. One youngster came to a person who was helping people in this field. He said, tomorrow I want to just kill myself. I can't live with myself anymore. I have seen everything, but I'm not pleased. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. He said, my time was wasted. Time which I could have done so much good things. I could have enjoyed the company of my wife and family. All gone down the drain. I had to lie to cover my tracks. I wasn't a liar, but now all the time my wife asks, what were you doing? Some business. What were you involved in? It was just something that came up. Where were you for so long? And all the time you have to keep on speaking lies and speak lies to cover up the previous lies. He said, my sexual contact with my wife became a chore. I didn't look forward to it. I wasn't excited with her any longer. Why not? What he was seeing was fake. It was rubbish. There was no reality to it. Those porn stars can't do the same thing in their own lives. If you have to find out of their lives, majority of them have been divorced multiple times. That's those who got married. All of it is just a lie on the screen. But it's just to make you excited. He said, I used to feel empty after masturbating. Compared to hugging my wife, I had no feeling of enjoyment or of happiness in my heart. He said, the amount of money I wasted over 10 years was approximately £15,000. Something like 250,000 rands on porn and prostitutes. I could have given this to the poor. I could have bought a house. I could have went for 10 holidays. I could have visited Haramain Sharif in 4 or 5 times. All down the drain. He said, because of this year, I used to get this feeling that you're useless. What's the point of doing good amal? And that's another trap of shaitan. One is he'll tell you, don't make tawbah. Second, he'll tell you, what you giving da'wah for? You acting like a pious person. You going gush to the people and your life is so miserable. That da'wah will help you to come out of the crime. That salah will help you to come out of the crime. That tilawat of the Quran will help you to come out. Shaitan will put you off and make you so depressed. You'll feel, why must I waste my time? It's not wasting. It is time in communication with Allah. He said, the utter humiliation I used to fear if my wife finds out. The amount of pain it would have caused her. And one woman, she wrote, she found out about her husband. What she went through. The thought came to her mind also, I must also cheat on him like how he's cheating on me. And this has happened on occasions. That person who himself was filthy, his wife also turned towards a filthy direction. Allah protect us all. This is in dunya. What about the disgrace at the time of death? Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi mentioned one youngster. He said he was an addict of porn. One night, while watching porn, everyone else is sleeping, the house began shaking. It was a tremor, an earthquake. He said, then he remembered one dua of Maulana used to make. Oh Allah, don't ever let death find me in a condition that I am in some club, some disco, looking at some pornographic material, doing some haram action. We make dua, Allah save us all. There is no guarantee. Nobody's nafs is free. Everyone's nafs is commanding him towards evil. So this is one thing. Then there is death. At the time of death, what a disgrace and insult. If the last thing in my life was that I had my cell phone in my hand and I looked at haram and my life went like that. And it has happened. And the worst is on the day of Qiyamah. If Allah has to now on his big screen play our scenes, then what face will we show before Allah? What face will we show before our Nabi? What face can we show in front of all of mankind when our whole lifetime scenes come out? There is this one thing that we can do. We can ask Allah for forgiveness. The moment Allah forgives, everything erased. Allah is too kind. But anyway, worry, this can happen. In dunya we can get disgrace. People have been caught. One Hafizab went to an hotel. He hired a pornographic movie. He used it that night. The next day when he went, he was leaving. So the person at the desk said, and there was another Muslim family there close by. The person said, you watched so and so movie last night. He gave the name. You have to pay for it. So he said, no, I never watched that movie. I watched another movie. He said, no, sir, you watched this movie. And they repeated the name 3-4 times. He said, I felt like the earth could open up and swallow me. We can't, what face we can show in front of creation? How are we going to show face in front of Allah? And if we give up, what will we get? Allah will love us. Allah will give us the same pleasure that we lost here in haram, Allah will give us in halal. Because what Allah has written of pleasure for us, we're going to get. You're going to get it in your wife, or you're going to get it in this filth of pornography. You're going to get it in the masjid, or you're going to get it in the filth under your blankets. You're going to get it in calling towards Allah and making zikr, or you're going to get it in the club. You must make your decision where you want to take your enjoyment. He said, every day I reminded myself of these 10 points. I read Quran, I gave sadaqah. I never stayed alone. I performed my salah. Whenever I had desire, I would go to my wife. And I used to think about the filthy, terrible feeling I used to feel. He said, the worst thing for a person who is an addict is to surf the net, and the worst thing is to have free time. Do something with your time all of the time. He said, 1 year ago I took a qasam to Allah, I'm not going to relapse. And every day I go to the mirror and I tell myself, never, never, never. Every day I have a book in which I mark the days I was successful. Alhamdulillah, now for the last 365 days I have ticks. For 365 days, alhamdulillah, I had managed to beat this addiction. It's not over. It won't ever be over till the last day of our lives. But if we make an effort and we try and we start, connect with pious people, connect with the ulama, take their mashwara. If we have a problem, find out treatment. Whatever was mentioned here, if anyone wants this here, they want these points here, you can contact me, you can send me an email. But do something before it's too late. Before the end of our life, make tawbah to Allah. I'll end on this here. I'm taking up this much time. Kifal was a person who was a very evil man who committed every sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated his incident. Abdullah ibn Umar said, not once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times, many, many more times. And in one narration he said, I heard this incident from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than 20 times. Kifal was an evil man who committed every sin. One day a woman came to him. He paid her 60 dinars, which in today's times we could equate at about 10,000 rands, just to sleep with him. When he sat over her, and he was in the most intimate position a man can be with a woman. At that time when you say, how am I going to control myself? He said, at that time this woman, she began shaking and she cried. And he said, I'm not forcing you. She said, no, you're not. But this, I never committed this crime before. I need the money so badly, that's why I came. He said, you're doing this and you didn't do it before. Go, take the money for you. And he spoke to Allah and he said, Allah, I will never disobey you after today. Everyone can make that resolution. Allah, I won't do it after today. Allahu Akbar, that night Kifal passed away. And the next morning on his door it was written, Allah has forgiven Kifal for whatever he did. Allah bless us all with tawfiq and understanding.
The students who are on khidmat, they must have already gone down. The remaining students, there will be one more program at about 5 past or 10 past, inshallah, then we will go for lunch. Lunch will be downstairs in the Hifz Hall, so we don't have to go to the masjid. That's why even if you go a little bit late, food is ready for you already. Mona mentioned that we have drills for fire. The only drills we have in our madrasa is food time. That you all must go downstairs, you must go nicely, you must sit nicely, don't make noise. And then try and eat quickly, and then go to the masjid for Zuhr Salah. Zuhr will be earlier, so don't waste a lot of time after.